I am stunned to learn, stunned, that as the Heat are one of only four teams soon to be remaining in the NBA playoffs, that they start tonight, and the local hour was largely dedicated after the shock and horror of Greg Cody knowing what Pornhub is and volunteering to us that he knew what Pornhub is, something I'm not going to be able to scrub off of me for decades, that knowledge, that he knows that, because the reason that he knows that, I think, is self-sufficient, and I think Chris Cody should be vastly more mortified than I am by all of this. But you guys spent a good portion of time talking about the 24 and 21 Marlins of Chris Cody and Billy Gill. And this is what I want to talk to you guys about, because I'm a little bit conflicted. Now, last week, we were talking about Bob Greasy's windshield wiper sunglasses. And one of the things that ended up getting said during that conversation by the young people on this show was, did we have the technology back then to make windshield wipers that would work on sunglasses? Now, keep in mind, this was after we had put someone on the moon, okay? Billy, what are you waving at me for? This is what happened on the show. Don't tell me that it wasn't what happened on the show.
This is kind of revisionist history, because I feel like you're kind of taking the W on this one when you need to take the L, because you said Bob Greasy played with windshield wiper glasses, and we found that he jokingly seemed to have put one on like later on when he was broadcasting or something. And I think Anthony's the one that asked the question if there was the technology at the time to do it, which is a valid question. Was it their technology at the time for him to have windshield wiper glasses while playing a sport? Because the only activity that we know on record that there was technology for was to play the piano, and that was Elton John.
The reason that it's not a fair question, as I mentioned, is because before that, they won the Super Bowl in 72. They were undefeated. We were on the moon, and we had the technology to put people on the moon. Regardless, not my point, and I won't take the victory on that, because I got it wrong. I'm absolutely wrong on that. Bob Greasy did not play in a game with windshield wiper sunglasses.
How much do you think space scientists make? Like, I don't know what a space scientist would be called, not an astronaut, but like the ones that, you know, are in a lab and they're like studying potato growth on other planets for like, it's like a 4-year study. And that's all they go in is they go in and they look at like potatoes and seeing what kind of life there could be like on Venus or Jupiter or whatever. And it seems, I know that I'm going to get crushed for this. It seems like a waste of money, right? Like, it seems like we could be using that money for something else and not studying, you know, what kind of habitation there could be on life and planet 600 years from now. And I realize that you need to kind of do the work now on the front end, because you're not just going to go from let me think about living on Venus to let me living on Venus, right? So it's necessary stuff that they're doing, right? But at the same time, when are we going to get to Mars? Like, it's been 50-something years since we got to the moon. I feel like there's been kind of a lag here. When are we going to get to the next place? Because the moon's kind of boring. And I feel like if not, let's at least go back to the moon and have people run around and do other things on the moon. Because I was looking up sports fun facts the other day, because my wife's being in charge of doing like the morning announcements, and she asked me for like a sports fun fact. And it's like, what the hell do I know about sports fun facts? But I looked up how there's only been one sport played on the moon, and it's golf, right? Let someone up there and let's play an NFL game on the moon, all right? Let's play more sports on the moon.
Yes.
If we're not going to go to Mars, and we're not going to go to Venus, and we're not going to go to these places, and we're just going to be looking through telescopes, let's go back to the moon and start playing things on the moon. Let's get something out of NASA that's worth the money that we're spending. Because we're spending billions of dollars a year, I'm sure, on all this space science and technology, and I'm really not seeing where my tax dollars are going for this. Am I the only one wondering where all the space money's going?
Tell them.
Billy, how do we play golf on the moon? Like, if you get a really good shot, doesn't it just go on forever and like float off into the ethos for never to be seen again?
That's on the moon.
Talk to Alan Shepard, not me. I didn't play golf on the moon.
Your original question was, I know you don't remember it, but your original question was, how much do these people get paid? I imagine because they're educated and because it requires a great deal of education that they're probably paid pretty well, would be my guess. But where I was headed with my point before you took us on a meandering voyage through space was...
Space science is a thing, Dan. It's one of my triggers that sets me off from time to time. And I don't want people to think that I don't have an appreciation for astronomy. I was in the astronomy club in sixth grade, so I do have an appreciation for astronomy. But it's just... enough already. Let's get something done. Let's put another rover out there. Let's do something. And Elon Musk dipping his toe into the space science has me really on edge here, because one out of like every three rockets he sends up blows up. And thank God it's been all the ones without people on them. And the ones with people on them have been successful. But Elon Musk, let's focus on the cars or the tunnels or something else. The SpaceX, it's just too much. Go back to making the blow torches or the hats or whatever it is that you're selling.
You know how people say, what am I, a rocket scientist? How did rocket science become such a coveted occupation? Like, what's so great about being a rocket scientist that people are going to say, what am I, a rocket scientist? I never quite.
Greg, you sound so death old. Like, you sound it. Anyone listening to this has to be horrified by how old you sound, because you sound like every word is causing you something between constipation and pain.
Drink water. All you do is drink coffee. Put some water in your system.
You know, my voice goes in and out, as listeners of the show realize, and it just happens to be an out Tuesday. My voice is out today. I'm toughing through it.
Is this something that happens to your voice after you frequented Pornhub a few too many times? Is this something
What does that have to do with your voice, though?
I don't want to talk about this anymore. Let me move on to other subjects.
You want to talk about something we were talking about before, Dan? We were talking about if there was tailgating at, Gladiator events before. Like, was there tailgating before the gladiators would fight each other? You don't want to talk about that.
No, I don't want to talk about that. Thank you, though. What I wanted to talk about, because I was saying that young people often are ignorant about what happened in the past and dismiss it, I'm having an interesting back and forth with a handful of people who are Marlins fans, and it's clear that they are young Marlins fans. And what I wanted to ask you guys, I have not been supportive of the Marlins, but I'm old enough to remember and feel the betrayals. And so there are people who are mad because, yes, their farm system has been replenished. And yes, tanking can work in that sport, as the Astros and Cubs have shown you. It doesn't guarantee you anything, but if you're bad for an extended period of time, you will replenish your farm system with cheap labor. It's a plan that Manfred should be embarrassed by, but he's okayed it because these are all small businesses. And so my question to you is, and I want you guys to explain it to me, where am I supposed to fall on how I talk about the Marlins? They're 24-21. A mutated season gives them a chance to be interesting. They just won 5 of 7 from the Phillies. They have a series today with the Red Sox that you guys were correct in saying is the strangest thing in 2020, even amid a pandemic, that the Marlins are playing games against the Red Sox that matter, and they only matter to the Marlins. They don't matter to the Red Sox because the Red Sox are that terrible. How am I supposed to talk about this baseball team? Why would I trust that this baseball team will move forward with the kinds of moves and the kinds of enthusiasms that have been betrayed many, many times from this franchise?
In the short term, you could trust that they'll be in this thing the entire season. You can't guarantee that long term, but in the short term, you could certainly say it, Dan, even if they were playing an entire season, a regular season, we would still be saying 45 games in, this is a nice story. Marlins 24-21. 2.5 out in the NL East. There is no guarantee long term. You only have that guarantee short term. That's it.
You know why, Dan? Because why not us?
Just like Collinsworth said, your meathead savior. We can't hear you now, Greg. You either muted your microphone.
I think that's a good thing, based on what I heard
earlier.
I'm
with you. Yeah. I'm with you. Yeah.
Like, sounds better.
You sound better speaking in silence, in total silence. You want to try again?
Well, it's a feel-good story, and why should Derek Jeter have to inherit the mistrust that Jeffrey Loria earned? I think he deserves a fresh start. I think what they've done is working. It is working. And what they did at the trade deadline with a couple of judicious gets, Starling Marte particularly.
It's only one R, only one R in his last name.
Marte.
It's not two.
They've improved the team, and they're a feel. Mattingly's the manager of the year. And particularly when you consider that their team was decimated by COVID-19 at the beginning of the season, they were the cover team for everything that could go wrong, and they rallied from that. I think it's been a great story.
It has been a great story. And I think in asking the question, how do we talk about this team? We've talked about it plenty, and I've watched all the games. I'm into it. Matt Joyce, flash and leather, nice little rebound serve for Pablo Lopez. I love it. Great story. Game one of the ECF. Hated Celtics. Come on, man.
All right, fair
Come
enough.
On, he, totally fair. He's got a big game seven tonight.
He's right about that.
We're more focused on Ricky Pitalico.
All right, Billy, I believe we've heard plenty from you today to last me for about the rest of the year, maybe really? The end of the pandemic. So let's go ahead and talk about the Miami Heat. The sources of that rivalry, okay? We remember that Pat Riley sent out a team spokesman to tell Danny Ainge that he needed to shut the bleep up, put it on company letterhead, basically, because he's called him a whiner after Danny Ainge said that that LeBron James was a whiner about calls, called him a whiner and says, I know because I coached against
him. Because Riley's a badass.
So what can you guys tell me about what represents the greatest moments of rivalry between these two teams? Because Kendrick Perkins has come over to the Heat side. Kendrick Perkins says he rides with them goons, which was a surprising thing for me to see him do, given that he's still mad at Ray Allen for joining them goons.
yeah, it's a babyface turn for one Kendrick Perkins. All of a sudden, a charter member of Heat Twitter being sent T-shirts by Hawk that say them goons. Hawk playing fast and loose with licensing rights, I guess. And yeah, man, he's a hero. And to answer your question, the greatest moment that's going to ring eternal is obviously the LeBron James face and game and blueprint on the line, that performance in Boston, even though there were more games played in that series. But that is the chief memory.
Let me give you, and I think this is going to enthuse you guys, this is a bit of Heat information, but it's not what you usually like, which is some reported secret nuggets.
Right.
It is from the master of the nuggets, Stan Van Gundy. This is what he says when I ask him about the matchups in this series.
You have exclusive analysis and breakdown from Stan Van Gundy on your phone?
I have it right here on my phone, and I'm predicting that it's going to be something that excites the group here. He says, right. I like Dragic, Butler, and Hero almost as much as Walker, Tatum, and Brown. I like Adebayo a lot more than Tease. Miami has supporting cast of Robinson, Nunn, Crowder, and Olynyk, all of whom can shoot and score. Boston has only a very streaky Smart and possibly Hayward. With Butler, Dragic, Crowder, and Olynyk, Miami has more experience, and I think Miami is tougher. He picks the Miami Heat to beat the Boston Celtics.
All right. And you can tell him it's Tice, and that's a fine.
Yeah,
$2.
Sometimes he watches games on mute and doesn't know the exact pronunciation, but it's understandable. Yeah. Also, I think we're going back to the moon in 2024. Wheels are in motion to go back to Mars. So plenty of things are happening. And I think the people that work on the potatoes are actually called botanists. And you need a botanist for every one of these crews.
They should be called boringists. Do something that's going to excite the people in space, not potatoes.
Who do you think you're going to be outraging, incidentally, by your space take? Because
there's people that get upset about everything, Dan. I'm telling you right now, I could say that red is the best color and people would get upset about that. People just exist to get mad at anything that anyone else says. That's the way the world works. That's why you shouldn't be arguing with people on Twitter about the Marlins, right? Because then they're going to see you arguing with them about the Marlins. And then I'm just warning you, it's going to take like a Francesa turn where you're just yelling at people about the Marlins and the rotation and Nocha that Sixto and all of that stuff. And you don't want to get into all that stuff. By the way, did you see what Sixto Sanchez said the other day? They asked Sixto Sanchez, why is it that you're not afraid of anyone? And you see what he said?
Is that
because
your dog?
I have tremendo cojones. That's what he said.
Tremendo cojones. Cojones.
I know what cojones mean. Yeah.
What does it mean? What is the literal translation according to Stugatz?
Balls.
Yes. tremendous balls is what he said. You got to like that from a young pitcher who throws out. What's he topped out at? 99? 100? What's he topped
152.
Always bringing it back to the Marlins. But let's hear from the voice of death here on the Miami Heat tonight. Greg Cody will be planted in front of his television in his underwear, ready to launch an underwear column, I am sure. What is most interesting about this series to you, Greg?
What, do I have to be in my underwear? I can't wear like a nice pair of khakis.
Well, I just think you probably got Pornhub nearby, but... and you're in your underwear is what I'm guessing. That's just what I'm guessing.
We had Amin El-Hassan on the Greg Cody Show podcast this week, and he predicted the Heat would beat the Celtics in seven. And one of the things he mentioned was what Ben Gundy mentioned. He likes the Heat's depth. He thinks that Bam Adebayo particularly has a huge advantage at his position in this series. And he just, he likes the Heat all the way around. And I agree with him. I think Miami in this series, they have more experience, more playoff experience.
I mean, come on, man. Come on. Let's look at both of these teams. There's not an abundance of a lot of playoff winning on both of these teams.
We have more playoff experience than the Celtics. The Celtics
went to the Eastern Conference Finals 2 years ago. This team without Kyrie Irving.
Greg, what kind of analysis was that to just borrow everything Amin said and then just attach at the end your Homer opinion of they're going to win, which is always your opinion?
It's what I believe. I mean, you asked me for my opinion on this series.
That's true.
And you gave me Amin's opinion.
You asked him for his opinion and he gave you an answer. I mean, it doesn't matter whose answer he gave you an answer.
No, if the analysis doesn't agree with Dan, he criticizes it. You know,
but wait a minute. The analysis does agree with me, though. I think they're going to win as well. What do you mean?
You agree with Greg. Agrees with Amin.
Who agrees with Stan.
So you're just repeating my analysis.
Dan just wants somebody on here to pick the Celtics. Dan, like, you know those things that balance things? Dan likes somebody to be, like, they can't, if everybody's on one thing, Dan's like, somebody needs to be over here.
The
Celtics are winning.
We just sound so pathetic when it's all of us wearing cheerleading outfits. And, like, nobody will offer up a syllable on the other side. And Stugatz is the king of just going to wherever the applause is.
This is not going where the applause is. It is if you're in Boston. I'll go the Celtics just for the sake of the show. I mean, no, I don't care.
That's you're a good not, teammate, that's man.
Not. Thanks. I got the Celtics in a sweep. I mean, this Heat team's a bit overrated. The Bucks aren't that good. Jason Tatum's the best player on the floor. Jaylen Brown might be the second best player on the court. Maybe Bam. Or Jimmy Butler. But regardless, we digress here. They're probably pretty evenly matched, but I'll take the Celtics at four. How about that?
It's a little
forced.
And
they got that feast that guy's great, the big guy.
It's tight.
That's a fine.
Forced. I don't want your commentary that way. I'm a little bummed.
I really do think the Celtics are going to win if you want to know the truth.
I feel like the problem here is we're more of a reactionary show. Give us the game and then we'll cover it. Like, we're not great at this pregame stuff. Like, what are we going to all make predictions?
I really don't think so. I think we kind of nailed the predictions on the Bucks series. Well, actually, we were a little off. We said it was going to be a long series, but a lot of us thought Miami had good chances. And that was a fun preview. Sugats, I don't want to go as far as to pick the Celtics, but this is obviously the toughest series Miami has, and that's a team that's given Miami matchup problems. I think, you know, if I had to make a pick, if I absolutely had to, it'd probably be the Seas at this point.
Yeah,
here we go again with the waffling. All right, we're going to do this again. We did this last series. We're going around the horn right now, and everyone's going to pick who's winning this series before it starts and how many games. Anthony, you're first.
Hold on. You wrote down last time what everyone was picking. Do you still have that piece of paper somewhere around you?
Of course he does. Hoards everything.
He does. Certainly you've got, let's see
the
what
the problem
we
with hoarding is that I have multiples of these notebooks, so I gotta find where it is because I don't exactly have a great system. Give me a moment.
All right, well, we'll go around.
Oh, I found it. Oh, here it is. I found it.
Oh, wow. Okay. This is exciting. All right, hold on a second.
So this is the predictions that everyone made here. This is terrible prediction radio. The predictions everyone made on the Bucks series. What do you got?
All right. Mike started out with the first pick, and he picked the Bucks in seven.
Ooh.
The Bucks.
Ooh. Yeah. It was actually on a Tuesday because Greg is here. Greg picked the Heat in seven.
Hold on a second. Wow. Mike bet the Miami Heat money line.
Yeah, I bet
picked the Bucks.
Yeah, I picked the Bucks.
He picked the Bucks
in terms of an on-air prediction, but I couldn't turn down the +345. I was saying all season long he'd have a great shot at winning that. I was wrong, by the way. The Heat dominated.
Yeah, Mike picked the Bucks in seven. Greg picked the Heat in seven. Stugatz picked the Heat in five.
Thank you.
And then he went back and he picked the Heat in one.
Well, thank you again. I mean,
Chris picked the Heat in six. Roy picked the Bucks in six. Dan picked the Heat in two. Anthony picked the Bucks in five, and I picked the Heat in three. So now we're all caught up.
All right.
I win. It seems like.
Yes, you win, Stugant. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You've said thank you three times.
Well, it feels good to win. I have a question for you guys, okay? Now, I have the Celtics in seven in this series, okay? Celtics in six, actually. I agree with Mike. I left out Kemba Walker.
You just picked the Celtics in four.
I went up to six. I might go down to one. I'll let you know by the end of the hour, by the end of the Big Suey. I have a question as it relates to game seven, though. Who do you guys think LeBron James wants to win that game? Do you think he wants that Clipper matchup, or would he prefer the Denver Nuggets? Who do you think the Lakers are?
I think they'd prefer the Nuggets.
Yeah. Easily? I think the only time, Stugatz, you've ever seen LeBron James outside of posting up J.J. Perea poorly, the only time you've seen him scared on a basketball court is when he was at the free throw line in the finals, looked over his shoulder, and Kawhi Leonard was checking into a game, and you saw him mouth a curse word because they hadn't done enough before Kawhi Leonard came into the game. He'd much rather have the no defense of the Nuggets.
And keep in mind the whole courting of Kawhi Leonard. Remember when I said Buku storylines?
Yeah.
Kawhi purposefully played it the way that he did to weaken the Los Angeles Lakers because all the free agents started signing, and basically all the Lakers could do at that point was sign Danny Green, and that was it. By playing the Lakers the way that he did, he actually made his competition weaker, stringing them along. And the details are hilarious, making them changing locations with LA traffic to places by his home just because he was working this from the start. And this is the most anticipated Western Conference Finals, I think, since maybe Lakers Kings with those series building up over the course of the regular season. I'm super excited for this. I really hope the Nuggets don't ruin it.
Well, if it happens, right. Yeah. The Nuggets could ruin what everyone wants to see, which is LeBron versus Kawhi, Anthony Davis, Paul George, and the Nuggets, who we do not give nearly enough credit to, a team that went to the Western Conference Finals, but no one wants to see him in there. And they have a generational player in Jokic who does things I've never seen before that size.
I'd be hugely surprised if Kawhi Leonard does not advance in that series because Denver is so bad at defense, and you can't be that kind of bad at defense in a game seven. But regardless, the one that's interesting to me, most interesting to me, the one that I'm rooting for, the one that would be so much fun to have here in town is to break down the Miami Heat against LeBron James in the finals. And what I wanted to ask you guys on that one, because this part I think is interesting, my tendency always throughout basketball history is if you've got the two best players, that's the team I'm picking to win a series, period. And they clearly have the two best players, no dispute in that series. But Miami's got 3-10. They are so weak. That Lakers team is so weak after the two, where the best you're putting out there is Kuzma or Rondo. It is that Miami would have, in terms of attacking two great players with a team, with that team concept that people like so much, it doesn't win very often. The Miami Heat lost to a team led by Dirk Nowitzki once upon a time. But this Heat team doesn't even have a number one as good as that Dallas team did. Like, Jimmy Butler as a one headed into that series is your third best player. If Jimmy Butler's the best player on your team, he might not be. Bam might be the best.
Yeah, the comp might be the Detroit Pistons that upset the Lakers of Shaq.
That's a good one. Yeah,
Kobe,
that's better.
Karl Malone and Gary Payton. Because I guess Jimmy Butler or Bam might be considered the way that Rashid and Chauncey Billups were back in the day. It's really hard to find it, but this is the exact kind of scenario where something like that might happen. And remember, the math has changed in the NBA because Kawhi changed it by not going to the Lakers. It used to be you need three. You need a big three because that's what Boston did. That's what the Heat did. That's what the Warriors did. And they started adding to it. Now everybody has two. And Miami is actually balancing out their team in the age of two quite frankly better than anybody remaining in the playoffs.
You say the math has changed. It's and changed in another way too, right? Miami's better at threes. They're better at the three-point shot, and the Lakers are okay from three. They're fundamentally mediocre.
All that being said, I got no idea who wins this series against Boston because, look, Kemba's had his struggles in this postseason. Tatum's the kind of guy that'll like will look like one of the best players on the planet, and then he'll throw up 5 for 18. They got the kind of annoying guys that it doesn't matter what kind of defense you play on them, they're going to make playoff contested jumpers, and it's going to win them a few games. I think it's going to be a long one.
It sort of seems weird to be jumping ahead to the finals, but in this case, if they get past Boston, I just think I sort of trust Spoelstra to be able to coach against the Lakers' weaknesses. Because Dan, what you mentioned, they have two great players, but then there's a drop off. Whereas Miami is more even throughout their depth, and I sort of like Spoelstra making it a challenging series based on that. You know, Lakers obviously going to be a huge favorite, though.
Do you think LeBron still thinks about us? Because everybody wants us to play against the Lakers to beat LeBron, right? But I feel like LeBron's not thinking like, man, I really want to beat the Heat. Unless he still has some sort of grudge against like Pat Riley, where he like wants to have Pat Riley get close to another ring and take it away from him. But I feel like LeBron doesn't care about the Heat anymore, right? Because he already went to Cleveland. He won his ring in Cleveland. Now he's in LA. It's been so long since he's been in Miami that I feel like he doesn't have that same thing that Heat fans have towards him.
I agree. I don't think LeBron wants anything to do with the Heat. There's no upside. I mean, if he loses to the Heat, that's going to be terrible, dreadful. I think he would rather see the Celtics in the NBA Finals. He wants nothing to do with the Heat. You lose to the Heat and you get killed. You lose to the Celtics and Laker fans might be able to understand.
It's kind of weird that you started that whole take with I agree and then took the exact opposite. The opposite.
It's not
well,
weird.
No. I'm talking about just in terms of matchups. I don't think he wants to see the Heat.
You said
in terms of caring about us, he doesn't.
And then you said the opposite of Billy's take.
Yeah. Well, Billy was asking overall in the general sense, does LeBron still think about us?
What sense are you talking about?
I'm just talking about the series coming
not
up.
Not a general right. sense, a more
they're
specific
two separate
sense.
Things.
Two different senses.
Right.
Two
Thank
different.
You. Thank
I
you.
Agree, Stugat.
Thank you.
I agree.
Thank you. In-game betting is crack.
In-game betting is great.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Value. Gostkowski, huh?
Oof.
No one stayed up for that second half, outside of maybe Chris Cody, who I saw tweeting about it.
I stayed up for every second of it.
Yeah, why? You had fantasy?
I had fantasy and gambling.
I had
I
Melvin
was
tilting
so hard.
I had Melvin Gordon, and I still fell asleep.
You leave the Patriots, and you become just a boob.
He took his shoes off after the fourth missed kick. He just went to the bench and just took his shoes off. He was barefoot.
He hit the game winner.
Jesus Christ.
It was a 25-yard chippy.
Off so people think still hit something it. Going on with my shoe.
That game is exactly how I thought it would be. I had no regrets turning it off at halftime. Also, sneaky little fantasy win. Thank you, A.J. Brown, for dropping that.
I won it with Melvin Gordon the second half. We'll touch that.
Philip
yeah.
Lindsay got hurt. Yeah. Look at you, huh?
Yeah. Yep.
Look at you. Cloud nine.
I like that.
That 10 p.m. game was a classic dink and dunk game.
It was. And what is Fangs doing with his timeouts? I mean, he thinks he can use them next Sunday?
I know. Just holding on to them, cuddling with them tonight, last night.
Did anybody else have the experience where they drew up that terrible play to, I think, Jake Butt on the 2-yard line? And I'm like, who the hell is this offensive coordinator? It must be a retread because this is a terrible decision. And then I Googled it, and sure as shit, it was Pat Shurmur.
The old tight end shovel pass at the one.
Oh, my God. How is this allowed? Imagine being in a profession and failing as many times as Pat Shurmur.
Jake Butt is the Michigan tight end. Is
oh, that, look at
yeah.
you.
Yeah, look at
knowledge.
You. Wow.
My butt knowledge, my knowledge yeah. of butt.
How'd you know that?
Cody eats butt all the time.
No ifs, ands, or buts, I'll tell you that.
You pulled that one out of your butt.
I really did.
What?
So we've got the Miami Heat tonight, and we've got to get to our predictions as we do prediction radio. It's very important that we get this on the record. Let's see what we have here. Billy, do you want to lead this prediction roundtable and pregame chuckle fest? You could be the leader here as we go around and create entertaining content around picking games, even though it's a pretty evenly matched series. And my guess is that the Boston Celtics are a small betting favorite. What are they? Like, are they minus 160? What is it better
than
that?
I'd probably even go less than that. Let me check it out.
Yeah, I'll check. Yeah.
The three teams that were remaining there were pretty similar when you look at Toronto, Boston, and the Miami Heat in the East, and the Miami Heat over the course of the regular season. If you're making the argument on behalf of the Miami Heat, the only argument you could make is the growth of their young players, because during the season, the Celtics and the Raptors were better than the Miami Heat.
Yeah, I was hinging a lot of my hopes on Bam Adebayo's growth, and I think he kind of grew to the actual absolute ceiling of what I was hoping for, becoming an all-star. I actually think Spo was playing coy when Ira asked him if he has any like special tactics up his sleeve. I think there's a large segment of Heat Twitter that anticipates maybe Bam Adebayo going on Tatum. You enter the playoffs really excited to see Giannis versus Bam because you saw it a lot during the regular season, and then you really see Jay Crowder and Iguodala mostly on Giannis outside of trapping. So I actually think that this could be a real good matchup, because in terms of isolation defending, Bam Adebayo, I think, is, if he's not top, he's near the top in terms of opponent field goal percentage, and that'd be a difficult matchup for Jason Tatum.
Celtics are minus 140 for the series.
So that's a toss-up series. I wanted to ask you guys, though, when Stan Van Gundy or Greg Cody goes with the argument experience, I don't look at this series and see overwhelming experience. Both of these teams are in a situation playing bigger games than any they've played right now. All of the players on this team, like, unless you think Jay Crowder's going to swing the series.
No, I would say, if anything, the Heat have a lack of experience that concerns me, but I think that is kind of, it's a bit neutered by the fact that it's on a neutral court, right? Like that kind of helps. That helps matters.
That's where experience would help you, right? Yes. Dealing with life on the road and hostile crowds. I mean, we saw Jimmy Butler is one of the most experienced in terms of playoff minutes, one of the most experienced players, and still in one of the games against the Bucks, he almost made a shot for the Bucks. He gave Brook Lopez an alley-oop. So I think that's overstated, especially when he gets to neutral courts, guys.
Here's the thing, guys. It's going to be tonight, 6:40, Heat at Celtics. The classic rest versus rust. The classic experience versus a short memory. Who's going to have the lead? Now, Dan, I know you're thinking you want this to be like a big sports radio thing. So we're going to go around the horn in a second. We're going to take everybody's teams and number of games. But 6:40, tip off tonight. Also 6:40, first pitch, Marlins.
Oh, Jesus.
Red Sox are going on. So what you should be doing right now, if you really wanted to embrace this whole sports radio culture, you need to find someone in Boston and you need to make a bet with them as to who's going to win the series and who's going to win the baseball series also. Because right now we have two cities at war. We have Miami and Boston going against each other in the two biggest sports going on right now outside of football. Whoa, actually, and if you take it back to Sunday, this thing got started on Sunday when the Dolphins played the Patriots. So all kinds of ill will right now.
Mike wants
crazy,
to go.
The craziest part is that the Red Sox are the underdog to the Marlins.
Right.
That's the craziest part.
How about we fire up a bet with Bill Simmons? That'd be fun. Let's do that.
Yeah. Or the mayor of Boston, and we'll bet like a medianoche against a clam chowder. That's
or a Callahan.
Yeah.
A cliched Callahan. Sports radio bet with the mayor. Clam chowder against a medianoche or a handful of croqueta.
I gotta go.
You won't. You don't have the guts.
I've been rooting for the Celtics. I mean, I like that clam chowder. I'm with Chris.
So you guys want to do the most cliched radio possible?
If the Heat win, Bill Simmons sends us a case of legal seafood New England clam chowder.
Legal seafood.
Yeah, and if it goes the other way, we send Isla Canaria croquetas to Bill Simmons.
All right.
Sign on if you have the cojones, Bill. This shit escalated, huh?
Mike, listen.
You might have to send us some clam chowder.
Get this beef going.
Mike, the way that you said tremendo cojones as if you were cool, but you've got that terrible mustache. And the way that you said that would have been cool if not for the fact that you look like Gardner Minshew's less successful brother.
Gardner Twinshoe.
Hey-oh!